What is up, Ravens flock? This is Believe in Ravens podcast. Daniel Wilcox and Matt Trigger. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We have a very special guest. We have the man himself. He is the man in the Ravens organization. He is the general manager of your Baltimore Ravens, Eric DaCosta. Eric, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. I'm happy to be here. I've known Daniel for many years and saw him this weekend, and I learned about this podcast and had to be on it.
Hey, man, I tell you what, we can't be more appreciative than we are right now to have you on, man. It's super exciting. We've had some great guests this year, but you may be the top right now thus far until somebody take you off the top seat. So we'll jump right in it. I've been on E ever since I got to Baltimore in 2004. And when I got there, Eric was a young guy. I think he was actually the Turk. I think if I remember correctly, he was saying, "Hey, bring your playbook" when he first got started, you know. Yeah. So now he's the general manager of the team. First, give me a little bit of experience about you being the Turk, getting your first start here, and how did that feel?
Well, back when I first started, we would put the players up at the Pikesville Hilton, which is now the DoubleTree in Pikesville. And we would actually drive over there, different type of situation. We would drive over, and I would have the rooming list of all the players and what rooms they were in. Back then, players used to share rooms, and so every player had a roommate. So I would go up to their room, whoever it was that we were going to cut, and knock on the door. And, you know, one of the two guys would answer the door, and I would say, "Hey, I need to see so-and-so." And if it wasn't the guy that answered the door, he was so relieved. Like, you could just see it in his face. He would look and he would say, "Hey, you know, John, this guy needs to see you." And I would say, "Yeah, you need to get your playbook and come downstairs with me." But, you know, that's the way we did it back then. And, you know, sometimes guys would just slam the door in our faces like that was going to change anything. But, you know, it's an emotional time for these guys. If, you know, as Daniel knows, I mean, it's not easy being cut. It's not easy being a professional athlete. And really trying to, like, look at your life and saying, what am I going to do if I can't play this game anymore? What does my future hold? And what am I going to be? And what am I going to do? And so I have a lot of appreciation for that and what these guys go through. And, you know, I don't do that the same way anymore. But as a GM now, I do have to have these real conversations with the guys. And a lot of times I have these conversations with the guys that are more established, which is actually more difficult than doing it with an undrafted free agent or somebody like that, who's going to get a few other chances. And so now my conversations may be, "Hey, man, listen, appreciate what you've done for us. You've been on the team for 7 or 8 years, but we got to move on." And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, has this guy really contemplated the idea that he may not be a professional athlete anymore? He may not get another chance. He may end up coaching. He may end up going to work in finance. He may end up starting his own business, whatever that is. But he's going to have to start thinking about that because that day is coming.
How do you guys make that determination? Like, because sometimes I see guys get rolled over, like Jamil McClain. Like, he's an example. We had Jamil on the show too earlier in the season, and he's a guy. I love Jamil. You know, he came in, I kind of took him underneath my wing, and to watch him grow, watch the way he played as a Raven, and even Zach Orr. You know, he's on the coaching staff now. You know, so how do you guys make those determinations of who you bring back and who do you keep in the building?
You know, it's really about, you know, primarily three things. It's can they still play the game at a high enough level to present value to the club, to help us win games? Two, can we afford the player? Is he playing, you know, up to what he's being paid? And what does the team look like if we don't have the player under contract anymore? Because in some cases, you know, as you guys know, we're a salary cap league. We're bound by a hard salary cap that other sports aren't bound by. We have to make tough financial decisions. And then the third piece really is, does this guy have the type of character, integrity, behavior, leadership ability, dependability to be on the team? And in some cases, you guys have seen that, we got to make a hard decision. And it's basically, you know what, this guy doesn't fit. This guy doesn't fit the team. He doesn't fit the locker room. He doesn't have the right character, the right dependability, durability. You know, he's been hurt, his body, maybe he's got an injury. You know, we went through that with Zach, you know, and Zach ended up having to retire from the game. It wasn't a choice that we wanted to make. Zach was playing at a very high level and had a serious neck injury that wouldn't allow him to play the game anymore. And so sometimes that decision gets made for the player. It's not made by me. It's made by God, really, who makes that decision.
True. I hear you. When did you decide you was going to – that you wanted to be a GM? Like, did it just – did you just keep getting elevated throughout and it just happened? Or did you know, like, early on, like, I want to be a freaking – I want to be a GM?
Yeah, I mean, I knew from the time I was a kid, you know, really. I was just always so fascinated by the idea of building a team. And so I grew up a football fan, huge baseball fan, played football, played baseball, played in high school, played in college, played D3. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, when you're a 5'9", 200-pound safety who runs a 4'8", you know, you know you're not going to play in the NFL. And so but I have a passion for the game, and I've always felt that, like, I had the leadership to run a team and the eye to scout and – so for me, you know, I grew up a Cowboys fan, and the Cowboys in the 70s were known for being the most innovative scouting team in all of sports. They had Tom Landry was the head coach. Gil Brandt was the player personnel director. And the GM was a guy named Tex Schramm. And the Steelers and the Cowboys did a remarkable job of scouting players and finding talent all over the country. And me being a Cowboys fan, I would always imagine myself someday, you know, being a GM and running a team and finding the players and managing the salary cap and working with the coaches and getting to know the players and finding the right culture and building all that to win a championship. And so, you know, some guys want to coach. For me, it was always more like front office. That was really what my drug was going to be.
Well, I tell you what, man, just sitting back watching the teams over the last years, you know, ever since I think it was what, 2018? Mm-hmm. 2019, I think. When did you take over? 18, 19?
19.
I came down and did the player personnel internship with you, and just seeing you at the helm for the first time and just kind of seeing you work through things and looking at where the team has evolved to. It's officially your team now. You're 100% yours, man. When I sit back and I watch the team that you have put together, it's absolutely phenomenal. Like, it's like every single player, every single position is absolutely stacked with talent. We're loaded with talent. Like, I mean, everybody going to have these little tweaks and things that they can improve on and get better as players. But you have done a phenomenal job, Eric, just finding players and bringing them in and to fit it underneath that salary cap thing that you was talking about. So, you know, I take my hats off to you as far as that. Matt, I know you got a question. Matt, go ahead and shoot your question right quick.
Another one popped up when Eric was just talking a couple of minutes ago. When you were the Turk in the beginning, as Daniel put it, who was the hardest cut for you in your career early on? Who was the guy that you really did not want to have to walk up to and say, bring your playbook, other than this guy over here?
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't have to cut, you know, Daniel, fortunately. But, I would say this, like, back then, you know, we were starting out and we were just trying to find good players. And I can't really think of a guy back then that, you know, that I had to cut. But I'll tell you, as I've gotten older and built relationships with guys and become friends with guys, and I'm talking about, like, excellent football players, it's challenging. And to call a guy like Tony Jefferson, who I'm friends with, and say, hey, Tony, let's get together and you're not going to make this team, or to call a guy like Eric Weddle and to say to him, hey, Eric, listen, man, I got to cut you. I don't want to cut you, but we need the money and I can't pay you anymore. Those are brutal conversations to have. And, you know, it's hard because I care about these dudes and just, I have a love for these players. And, you know, the hard part for me is people think maybe that I'm like some stone cold assassin, but I tell you, like, I love these players and I'm an emotional guy, and you build relationships with them. And, it's a hard thing for me. Like, I don't sleep when I have to do something like this. And, you know, I pray that I'm going to say the right things and do the right things to handle it the right way. And, but it's not something I take for granted. It's not easy to do. People think it's easy to fire somebody. It's not. It's horrible. If you're a good person, it's a horrible thing to have to do. Yeah. And I appreciate what these guys do, how they put their bodies through what they put their bodies through, the pain that they have to suffer with when they retire, being away from their families, you know, all these different things. And to tell them, hey, you can't play this game anymore for the Baltimore Ravens, that's something I take very, very seriously.
I can imagine that. That telling some guy that, you know, telling a guy that his dream is over, at least here in Baltimore, has got to be tough. And that's kind of leading into what, you know, I wanted to ask you next. The roster has such turnover year after year, and we saw how things ended last year, unfortunately, and a lot of guys didn't come back, and you had to make some certain decisions. What was the thought process going into the 2024 offseason to really focus and build this team to get to the Super Bowl? Because that's the vision for you. It always has been the vision for you. And at center around Lamar Jackson, obviously, where did you see this team going after the AFC Championship game?
Well, last year's team had tremendous depth. We had players that weren't starting that were like excellent players. And so when one guy would go out, we could replace these guys. I mean, if you think about our secondary last year, we were pretty stacked. You know, I mean, we had Geno was a backup, Geno Stone.
Yeah.
We had Darby. He was a backup. We had a rotation with Clowney and Van Noy and with Owe and all these guys. And we kind of knew that, like, this would not be the case this year because Lamar's contract was going up. We have some other big contracts. We're trying to get Madubuike signed. We needed young guys to play, and we were going to have to make some sacrifices. And so looking at it, as hard as it was, we made the determination that we were going to have to move on from Kevin Zeitler, an excellent player, a Pro Bowl guard. Morgan Moses, just a true vet, tough, smart, gritty.
I like Morgan.
And we had to move on from some of these guys and had to play with younger players. And as hard as it is, we trust the process. We trust our scouts. We believe in what we do. And in our minds, we felt like we would have to maybe take some lumps early on. But down the road, we would be able to build a team again with some younger players, save some money, and really develop. And so I think our mindset really was we're going to have to use the draft. We're going to have to find some guys. We just can't keep chasing all these free agents and different things and signing everybody back. And we were going to have to prioritize certain guys. And so for us last year, it really became, okay, we're going to sign Madubuike back. We're going to draft well. And maybe we have enough money to sign one splash guy. And if we sign one splash guy, who's it going to be? How much impact is he going to have? And is he going to fit our culture? And looking at it, you know, there was one guy that really fit the bill, and that was Derrick Henry. And we felt like if we had Derrick with Lamar, we would be, I don't want to say unstoppable, but we would be tough to defend.
That's what Derrick, because that's what Daniel
we
said.
Got a double-headed dragon out there
right.
that teams just can't account for. And so we decided to spend whatever money we had on Madubuike and Derrick Henry. And it hasn't been perfect. You know, our depth has been challenged at times. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of these guys that have had to play. The guys like Rosengarten, you know, Falele, guys like that.
Stepped up.
Nate Wiggins, you know, guys have stepped up and played well. We don't have quite as deep a team, but I think this is a team that scares a lot of people.
It doesn't feel that way at all. Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I look at the roster up and down. There's a lot of guys that haven't, you know, just went out and killed so far, thus far this year, but they're there. We know they're there. We know they're capable of playing, and they're talented guys. So it feels like we're deeper than we are. Yeah, we struggled early in the year defensively and stuff like that and lost some games we probably shouldn't have lost. But, I mean, hey, that's going to happen in this league. Everybody has NFL guys. When I look at this team, man, from last year to this year, man, it's absolutely a stacked, loaded team. And you guys are primed for a Super Bowl. We're knocking on everything that – the Believe in the Ravens and the Baltimore Ravens will be in the Super Bowl this year. We can't wait to see you guys get there and cross the line, man, and the confetti fall down on your face. Eric, it'll be your first Super Bowl as the GM. And to be honest with you, man, I can't think of a more deserving person. I think I told you the other day on the sideline, you know, like, I can't think of a more deserving person that could have got this position. You waited patiently. You know, you waited patiently. You worked your ass off. You did all the little things. And I remember you saying something. It was something about having a growth mindset, if I remember correctly, and having everybody around you have a growth mindset. And even in that moment, I felt like this is so different from what I thought it was being on a player personnel side. And I'm listening to you talk, and I'm honestly understanding now that you guys don't go out and scout players. You guys are actually casting players. You're looking for guys that fit in the locker room, that fit with Play Like a Raven, believe in the Ravens, really feel like, you know, like this guy has to feel like he's a good fit personality wise, ideal wise, mindset wise. Everything has to click for you to feel like safe enough to bring this guy into your locker room. And of course you're going to lose some, you know, you're not going to be perfect 100% of the time, but you guys have done a phenomenal job, man. You know, hats off to you guys.
Thanks. You know, Danny, we've been blessed to have a lot of really good players and good people like you. And, you know, what I love about somebody like you is your story. And you were a Raven through and through. And like, you know, as you do this thing for a long time, you start to get the mindset of what you're looking for and what it takes. And it's not just, can the guy run a 4.4? Can the guy jump and catch and all these things and block?
Right.
It's, is he tough minded? Can he handle adversity? Has he overcome things in his life? Does he have leadership ability, whether it's leading by example or vocal leadership? Is he durable? You know, it's all those kind of things too. Does he take care of his business? Does he learn from his mistakes? Is he a good teammate? Is he selfless? Does he do things in the community? Like, it's all these different things.
100%.
And so as you build that menu of things, it becomes easier to find those things that are most important. And you train your scouts, as you know, Daniel, you work with us. We train our guys. We develop our scouts. And I think they're the best in the business, and they help me build the team.
I agree. I think they're the best in the business, too. And you guys are doing a hell of a job building the team. I can't wait to you hoist that Super Bowl trophy, man. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I know I don't want to take up too much of your time, man. I know this show is a 30-minute show, but I appreciate you giving us the time that you have. If you have more time, we'll take it. If not, then we want to let you go right now so you can get dinner with your wife and the kids.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. I'm going to hit it, but I'll tell you what. If we make it back to the Super Bowl, we'll do a show down in New Orleans, okay?
I love it. We'll hold you to that, E. We'll hold you to it, man.
Right.
Thanks so much, man. Good
luck.
We got
to get you a Super Bowl chain, though. We got to get you a Super Bowl chain for the show.
Let's do it. I'll wear it.
Hey, congratulations, man. Keep balling.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Right. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Well, there you have it. We had Eric DaCosta on, Matt. Now we can talk shit all we want. Let's have a great time talking about all the stuff that Eric was talking about just now. So I want to start from the top, bro. He was talking about being a Terp, right? Now,
can I just say I'm drenched in sweat right now?
Yeah, man, that's good. I'm glad you're drenched with sweat. Sometimes it's good for big guys to be nervous.
Oh, man. Oh, my Lord.
When he was the Turk, he was low, 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 low on the totem pole. So that's almost like entry-level stuff, right? So he never gets to actually cut somebody. You asked him a question about who he cut. He was like, well, there's nobody I cut. So he was basically saying that it wasn't me that actually cut him, right? So he has to go get him to bring him to whoever it is. GM, like Ozzie Newsome or Eric DaCosta, he has to go. He back then, he was a young guy. He had to go bring him to Ozzie, and Ozzie would be the guy that would sit down and tell the guy, you know, hey, man, we appreciate you being here or whatever. You know, you did great, had a great camp, man, but we got to let you go. And, you know, Ozzie played the game. He played the game for a long time, so he knew how to do it. My first experience being cut, it sucked. It fucking sucked. When I say it sucked, man, absolutely. Like, I remember being in my first training camp in New York with the Jets. Herman Edwards was my head coach. I hurt my calf muscle the first week of camp, and I really hurt it back home running in Atlanta. I was doing the workout they gave me. I running around the track, and I felt something pop, and it didn't feel right. You know, so I started, you know, jogging the rest of the way, finished the run, and then I stopped. I walked the lap, and I did another lap, and I felt it. It felt like I had kind of tweaked it or something, and it was irritated. So I came home, rested for the rest of that week. I had to report to training camp the following week, and I felt good. So I went out there, I was running around, and I felt that same exact pop again in my calf, and I partially tore my calf muscle. Ooh. When I did that, look, Matt over there doing this.
Come on, man. Just keep talking. Come on, stop.
I partially tore my calf muscle, man, and so they told me I was going to be out for like 3 to 4 weeks or longer. I was going to miss all of training camp. This was the first week of training camp. Not mini camps, not OTAs, but training camp. The season about to start in 4 weeks, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, you know. So they cut me, you know. And the crazy thing, when they cut me, like, it was the day after I hurt my leg. I went to treatment like 2-3 times that day. I was walking from the cafeteria with my leg wrapped up, my calf muscle all wrapped up, and then Herman Edwards stopped me. The head coach, I'm a rookie from Appalachian State, and the head coach stopped to talk to me personally. Hey, Wilcox, come here. goes over to Herm. Herm like, hey man, how you doing? I said, I'm all right, coach, man. I hurt my calf, but man, as soon as I can go, man, I promise you I'm gonna be ready to go. He said, hey man, don't worry about it at all. No sweat. He was like, if you do half the stuff that you did in pads than you did out of pads, man, you're gonna make this team hands down. Like, just get better. I was like, all right, coach, thank you. I walked away from that shit feeling like, damn, Herm Edwards just told me I did good out of pads. You know, he want to see me in pads. I can't wait. You know, so I'm thinking everything good. Man, I go to cafeteria, eat, come back to my room. They go to Turk. It was young Eric DaCosta, basically, at the time. It wasn't Eric, but it was a guy that was from the Jets. He called me in, bring your playbook. Coach want to see you. Go up there, tell me straight up, hey, man, you know, we got to let you go. I hate that you got hurt. I hate you got injured. You know, it wasn't Herman that cut me. It was at the time, it was Mike Tannenbaum. He was our GM. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he looked me right in the eye and said, we got to let you go. It did. But he had no remorse. It felt like I was just looking into a blank wall. Like looking at him, just he had a little more, hey, man, we got to let you go. You know, unfortunately, you got injured. Can't do it much when you got injured. You know, you can't do much while you hurt. So we got to bring somebody in that could actually practice and stuff. So we got to let you go. So just go ahead and pack your stuff up and, you know, you're out of here. And it was pretty much like that. He's like, you need us to get you a flight or whatever. I was like, no, I got my truck. I'm going to drive back home. I got to drive my truck home. He was all right, cool. Shook my hand, sent me on my way. It was that clean. I went back to the dorm room at the time. We were staying on Hofstra University campus. That's where the Jets complex was. Mm-hmm. Packed my shit up, put it in the back of my F-150, my Harley Davidson, jumped on the road, drove 15 hours back to Atlanta crying like a motherfucker. You would have thought I was a 16-year-old kid and that bitch, like somebody just took my girlfriend, bro. As soon as I called my mom, I could barely see on the road. Mom.
And then you won a Super Bowl a couple years later.
Yeah, two years later. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years later, you're on a Super Bowl championship team.
For sure.
Yeah, so.
For sure.
So I think things kind of worked out a little bit. I know it sucks getting cut, but you.
It does, man. It's one of the hardest things that we have to deal with, especially the older you get. Like he was talking about the guys that are older. Yeah. Like it's hard to let those guys go. They got kids. They got a wife. They got.
When he was talking about Weddle and Zeitler and TJ and all those guys, right? You know, like he said, he's building a friendship with all of them. And
I just met Weddle the other day, man. He's a cool guy. I had never met him before.
Okay, yeah. You know, it's got to be you know, you got to start somewhere, and that was just what he was doing. But now he's probably got somebody else being the Turk. I know he's.
Yeah, I was the Turk. I was the damn Turk. When I came up there for the damn, they made me be the Turk.
Oh, you know? Okay. So so you got the punk job.
Yeah, it was amazing how the roles turned. The crazy thing was, like, I was in the locker room with the guys the whole time because they had to weigh in and weigh out with me, you know, every day for practice, for training camp. And then all of a sudden at the end of camp, we got to make cuts. And then I'm the guy coming to get them to cut. And I was like, oh, man, we thought you was with us. Oh no, Wilcox. No, all of them, dog. They was like, Wilcox, really, dog? You know what I'm saying? I was like, bro, it ain't my. What you want me to do, bro? They telling me to come get guys. I
gotta
go.
I got bills. I need this job.
Yeah, I wasn't even really getting paid. Like, well, I got paid. It was an internship, but it wasn't like for real. You know what I mean? Like, it was an internship.
Okay.
Yeah.
How you want to slice?
No, it wasn't no real money, bro. It was an internship. Like, you got, it's a minority internship. You know, it's a dope opportunity for older guys or younger guys to get back into the game of football in any manner or form on any level of the business, whether it's HR, whether it's player personnel, front office, or coaching. And I got a chance to do the player personnel side of it, and it was fun, man. I enjoyed it.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm happy that Eric came on and gave us a little bit of an inside look to his thought process about just being the general manager and building the team after last year. You know, for everybody that's watching, I've been racking my brain about this for 2 days, and I've been bothering D for the entire time. He laughed at me for a solid 5 minutes before Eric popped in, and I'm like, I couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything, man.
I don't think you thought I was for real at first, Matt, when I told you he was going to come on.
Then. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Like, we'll get DaCosta, like, in March. And he's like, no, Wednesday at 7:30. I'm like, there's no way. And it just so happened. But, you know, just seeing how, like, how he was, you know, deciding on who he wanted to cut and who he wanted to let go and what big name free agent he had in mind, and the fact that it was Derrick Henry, and we're now seeing the fruits of the labor of the tough decisions, and we're two games from the Super Bowl, and Derrick Henry is along with Lamar Jackson, the whole offense is carrying the squad for the most part, but Derrick Henry is the guy right now, and it's impressive to see that Eric was like, this is the guy we need, and he's here.
I wanted to ask him at that time, like, why Derrick? Why not Saquon? But I didn't want to put him in a predicament where he had to say, this is why, and that's not why. You know what I'm saying? Like, he may end up, you never know. Saquon may be here next year. you just never know.
You know, well, here's the thing, though. In the pre-show, he said, if I don't like a question, I'm just not going to answer it. So,
right.
He wasn't going to answer that.
Right.
You know, that's where we are with that. But, you know, it's really crazy to, you know, it's different talking to somebody that's retired and was in the position before, but somebody that's actively there while still prepping for Buffalo and prepping for Kansas City or Houston, and then all the way to New Orleans. And that New Orleans comment had me stuck. So I was stuck. Like, that's when the sweat started, but like profusely, but I'm glad you got a joke, a nice little chuckle out of that. I'm real happy you got it.
No, you're funny to me though.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad I'm so funny to you.
No,
I'm
so glad funny, I'm funny dog. To you. You're so funny, dog.
Like, I can see myself right now. Like,
That's why I started the show off just asking questions at first, because I knew you was going to take you a little while to calm down. You know, and, you know, I felt if I broke the ice by asking a couple of questions right away, then maybe you'll have time to gather yourself and breathe a little bit. I told you to breathe before you asked the question. You did good, though, bro. You killed it. I'm proud of you, man.
I'm proud of you. Thanks. Thanks, Unc. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, bro. Nephew.
Yeah, man. It was really interesting to see just from the man himself, because he doesn't do this for a lot of people. And the fact that he did it on the strength of you is incredible. But
I agree. I was not Ray Lewis. I was not Ed Reed. I was not Terrell Suggs. I'm not a Hall of Famer. I'm not in the Ring of Honor. And sometimes it's hard to get my own teammates to come on here. That's the crazy part, Matt. You know, but then you can get the general manager or your former head coach to show. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. Yeah. I'm glad Todd Heap came on, though. Terry Jones said he's going to come on, too. You remember Terry Jones?
Yeah, Terry, he was a tight end.
Yeah, you know, that's my dog. I got to get all the tight ends. I got to get Darnell Dinkins on, Quinn Slipnewski, Terry Jones. I got to get all of us on here, man. I need to just get them all on one show, heap everybody. Just bring all the tight ends on at the same time. That would be dope.
That's gonna be real fun to moderate. But yeah, we also got
a bunch of boxes up here, a bunch of little boxes that everybody has.
We are, you know, while we're live, I'm letting everybody know it's going to be either tomorrow night or Friday night. Brendan Ibadejo from the Super Bowl 47 team is going to join the show
for
our official Bills preview. But we can kind of talk about that for a couple minutes. This is a big game in Buffalo. Things are getting a little dicey on social media right now between our fans and their fans. There's a lot of trash talking going on. A lot of unsavory things being said about Lamar Jackson. Some along the racial barrier. And it's just getting kind of ugly. So I've kind of stayed away from it for the most part the last day or two. It's getting kind of, you know, a little tense over there. But I think this is going to be a good game. I think this is going to be one that we're going to win. And like Eric said, I fully expect us to be in New Orleans to win our second Super Bowl there. And I believe that we're heading there. This is our year. We've talked about 12s. We talked about Jacoby. It's meant to be. Everything's just, I think our stars are aligning. And Daniel, I checked the weather, man. Buffalo, it's going to be -1 at kickoff. And they're calling for lakefront snow. So
I want no parts of that. Not even in the stands. Good luck to the people that are going. Are you going, Matt? Dress warm.
Up in the air.
You up in the air right now?
Up in the air. But
not me. I'm on the ground solid. I'm not going.
It's gonna be -1 around kickoff. And this is a game that we might see Derrick Henry carry the ball 30 times and you know, punish these boys. I know that we talked on Monday night with Mitch about, you know, size and speed and all that stuff. And this, these guys aren't going to lay down for us. But I think we're going to put them down.
Yeah, we wouldn't want it any other way, Matt. Shit, we want them to bring their A game. We need that. We need the best version of Josh Allen. We need the best version of their entire team. And we need to go put our best version of ourselves out there. We're not asking anybody to lay down for us at this point. We want your best effort because we're going to give you ours. That's what it should be.
Absolutely. But we're at the 30-minute mark. That'll do it for the live show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for all the commenters. I did see everybody, you know, supporting us throughout the show. We will be back with Brendan Ibadejo either tomorrow night or Friday night for our official Bills preview show. We want to thank Eric DaCosta again for coming on. I know his wife, Lacey, is a big supporter on social media. Lacey, we hope you saw this as well. And Daniel, absolutely, that'll do it, man. This episode's been brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the number one most trusted source in online sports wagering. You can find them online at BetOnline_AG on all social media platforms. Daniel, where can everybody find you that is watching live?
Hey, please go to at Coach Wilcox on Twitter and Daniel.Wilcox on IG. That's Daniel.Wilcox on IG and at Coach Wilcox on Twitter. I'm sorry, X.
And you can find me on Instagram at mtrig89, X at mtrig_BIR, and on Facebook. Just look us up. We interact with all of our listeners and our fans. Thank you guys for joining. We will see you guys this week.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel?
Bird Gang. Let's get them. Here.